So Rick Santorum, in his continual exploration of questionable political language, made this point last week about Puerto Ricans and linguistics. Puerto Rico, he says, needs more English.
So obviously, Spanish is going to be spoken here in the island, but this needs to be a bilingual country, not just a Spanish-speaking country.
Senator Santorum, country for Puerto Rico? Did you mean statehood, or did you mean to not say statehood? Well, consider this. Could Santorum's suggestion for Spanish-speaking Puerto Ricans apply to all parts of the USA? Perhaps America needs to be a bilingual country. Being a single-language nation in the 21st century is a competitive disadvantage in a global economy and may be holding back our brains, all of them, particularly the English-speaking brains, not just the Spanish-speaking folks in emerging immigrant communities around the United States. In a recent New York Times op-ed piece, Udijit Bhattacharjee argued that bilingual people usually outperform single-language speakers in cognitive tests of all kinds. Learning an additional language is a mental workout that comes with lots of cognitive advantages. Udijit Bhattacharjee is a trilingual staff writer for the journal Science and a regular contributor to the New York Times and Wired magazine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So as a political point, this idea of being bilingual is fraught with all sorts of ambiguities and issues and perils for politicians. But as a matter of brain function, it's really not much of an argument. Learning a second language and being fluent in three languages is good for the brain, period, the end.
Absolutely. In the last 15 years or so, there's been a lot of research that clearly shows a bilingual or a trilingual advantage. Bilinguals appear to process a lot of information more quickly than monolinguals do. And most importantly, bilinguals appear to have a superior ability to control attention and to switch attention between tasks, which helps them to outperform monolinguals on a number of mental challenges.
Boy, that monolingual, that sounds pretty nasty. You know, that sounds like a real pejorative as we move into the 21st century. What are your three languages?
I speak English, Hindi, and Bangla, although I have to say that Hindi and Bangla are quite close to one another. And so trilingual might be a little misleading, however.
Well, it's not as close as English and Canadian, right?
No, it's not.
We'll give you three.
Thanks.
Do you think if Americans, as a matter of educational policy, pushed bilingual education for everyone in the United States, and it doesn't have to be English-Spanish, it could be English-French or English-Chinese, certainly schools try, but if it was a much bigger commitment from the top down, do you think the whole bilingual debate for immigrants would simply go away or be modified in some way?
I certainly think it would be completely reframed in light of all of this research and the findings that I wrote about in the New York Times op-ed piece. And some of these findings have actually been around for over a decade now, so they're not completely new. However, in schools even today, there is a stigma attached to knowing a second language that is not English. In fact, you're better off telling teachers that you only speak one language at home, and that is English. However, the research clearly shows that bilinguals are easily able to acquire fluency in English, even if they learn English at a slightly later age than native English speakers. And at the same time, they have advantages that significantly sort of outweigh the costs of this later acquired fluency.
Talking with the Science staff writer, Science magazine staff writer, Udijit Bhattacharjee, about the benefits of a bilingual or a trilingual education in the United States. One of the arguments that's made in the political realm about needing to be bilingual or having English as a first or second language regards the notion of assimilation, that one needs to participate fully in the major language in a particular country. I'm wondering if in the 21st century there will be an additional element that, yes, there probably has to be fluency in the sort of common language of a nation, if such a thing even exists, but there also needs to be a fluency in the common multi language world that we are increasingly living in, and that's a broader issue of assimilation, and it doesn't really figure on the political scene right now, but it's coming.
Absolutely. I think you've framed it excellently, because the world is now increasingly globalized. Children who are growing up today, learning two languages or more, are definitely going to have an advantage in the workplace or wherever they live. They're going to have to deal with a wider range of people, not just in America, but in other parts of the world. So, of course, that's the pragmatic benefit of learning more than one language. But this research is showing that there's a more profound benefit on the brain in terms of reasoning, in terms of mental arithmetic, and all sorts of other cognitive functions.
Okay, so your brain's doing pretty well, you Digit Bhattacharjee. Let's stipulate that for the record. In terms of your ability to function in India or in the United States, how do you calculate which language to use, when to acquire more fluency, perhaps to make it easier for you to operate, whether we're talking about India or the United States here? Give us a sense of how you make these calculations.
Well, I grew up in India, and I spent my first 26 years in India sort of speaking all three languages that I mentioned to you. And this is not uncommon in India. Most Indians grow up learning three languages, and English is the common language that's spoken across India. However, in different social contexts, you sort of switch from one language to another, which is exactly what the researchers that I cited in my article found. So, for instance, when I'm at home, I might be speaking to my father in Bangla, whereas if my brother's around, I might be speaking to him in Hindi and in English, because my brother and I grew up in a state outside of West Bengal.
Well, the benefits are cultural, they are neurocognitive, and they're probably political if the U.S. could use the Indian model for multilinguality in our culture and life. Yudhijit Bhattacharjee, staff writer at Science Magazine, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.